My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris. He's an expert on the Middle East, an advisor to the United States Congress on the Middle East and terrorism, and he's the author most recently of The Lost Spring. We want to get his insights on some of the latest critical developments in the Middle East, specifically the Iranian conviction of a Washington Post reporter who had been held for over a year on allegations of espionage. And we also want to get his insights briefly into the latest developments in Syria. And Dr. Faris, it's always good to have you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Great.
We learned late on Sunday that Washington Post reporter Jason Rezaian, who had been held in Iran since July of 2014, was convicted. We don't know on what. We know there were multiple charges, and we know that if he's found guilty on all of them, it's about a 20-year sentence in very difficult conditions. This is being declared a sham and a show trial all across the political spectrum. What message do you think Iran is trying to send with this conviction and very few details to go along with it?
Well, the key word is a message. The Iranian judicial system, as we all know, is under the control of the supreme leader, supreme guide of the Islamic Republic. When they do engage in these trials, and there are other American, I would call them even hostages, and from other nationalities, it's always to seek a trade, to seek an exchange. They do have some demands that we're not aware of with regard to the United States and maybe an ally country that they need to exchange Mr. Rezaian with these other persons. Now, the United States administration, unfortunately, made, in my view, a mistake for not including the liberation of all American citizens held in Iran during the Iran deal talks. And now we see the results.
Why do you think that wasn't made mandatory?
Well, we were not part of the minutia of the discussion, but it could be. This is a theory that those who've advised on Iran talks may have convinced the administration that let's, quote-unquote, finish first with the mega issues, meaning with the nuclear issues, and later on these are minor issues that we can handle on the side. But the Iranian regime, since its inception in 1979 with the first hostage crisis in Tehran, and again in Beirut with the Hezbollah hostage crisis, have made it very clear that in their policies they will heavily use hostages on big issues, not on minor issues. And now we're experiencing this for the third time in three decades.
Dr. Faris, do you think that now that the nuclear deal is done, that the Iranians feel that they have a responsibility to be a better citizen of the international community, or are they emboldened now that their behavior has been on some level legitimized by the United States and the others that took part in the negotiations?
It's answer number two. The Iranian regime has for many years, I would say even now decades, showed that once they obtain what they want from the United States and obtain it, and get it, then they'll move to the second stage, which is to obtain more. I am afraid now that the Iran deal has been signed, that the Iranian regime is going to build further missiles, and we have the crisis yesterday and today of this new test. Then they are going to be expanding in the region, in Iraq and in Syria, now that the Russians are expanding as well. And, of course, they may be demanding more from the United States with this potential exchange of detainees or prisoners, or let's call them hostages, that we have been discussing now.
Do you get the sense that, I guess we talked about this a little bit a few minutes ago, that the administration simply saw the nuclear deal, whether it's for a legacy or for legitimately believing that it'll make for a more peaceful region, ultimately took a greater precedence than the lives of Mr. Rezaian, as well as Pastor Abedini, the Marine that's held there, and others?
I think that the administration thought that by cutting such a deal, with such an amount of money, $150 billion going back to the Iran regime or into the hands of the Iranian regime, that the latter is not going to be making more problems, that these hostages, will be released effectively after the Iran deal will be signed, a few months after that. But now the administration realizes that the Iranian regime obtained everything they wanted, including the cash, which they are going to be using for buying more weapons and exerting more influence, and still using the influence that they will obtain from the fact that they have American hostages in their hands.
And another report we saw in recent days that they're back to the missile testing, which was supposedly addressed in this agreement as well. From what we're seeing, whether it's the conviction story, whether it's the missile testing story, is this giving you further belief that Iran has no intention of abiding by the agreement, or is that reading too much into it so soon?
I do see very clearly, because I have been monitoring the Iranian regime behavior for the last 30 years, since my days in Beirut, and again after the Cold War. It has some sort of constant policy of using one stage to get to the second stage. And the Iranian regime is very clear. They don't want to change their access to nuclear and strategic weapons. They may freeze, they put it in back burner. They are now developing the long-range missile capability. But the most important matter is that on the ground, they will be exerting more influence in Iraq, in Syria, and soon to be probably in Lebanon and in Iraq.
We're talking with Dr. Waleed Faris. The book is The Lost Spring. And, sir, let's talk briefly about Syria and the whole situation with Russia coming on there to defend the Assad regime. It's obviously frustrating for the Obama administration because they don't want to see Assad stay, and obviously the Russians do. Other than the Iranians liking Assad, is there more to this arrangement that could be beneficial towards Iran now that Russia is in the mix in the Syrian civil war?
What Russia has done was predictable. Russia has an alliance or has a strategic partnership with the Syrian regime. They did not activate their presence until, and you could even make that comparison very clearly, they ensured that the Iranian regime was able to obtain from the United States via the deal everything they wanted. And it was very clear, if you compare the day the Senate failed in opposing that deal, it means that the deal is on, days later the Russians started to deploy into Syria. So they did not want to engage in any action that would allow the United States Senate or Congress to pressure the administration not to sign or not to execute a deal. And now the Russians are in Syria to protect the Assad regime. They may not go as far as trying to bring Syria entirely under the Assad regime. Is very difficult. It's going to be, I would say, impossible. But all the areas between the Turkish borders and the Lebanese borders, which are mostly Alawite, will be now under Russian protection. Beyond that, the Iranians are going to try to introduce forces into Syria along the borders with Iraq. So we are heading towards more wars, not less wars, because of the Iran deal.
Last topic. The president said on 60 Minutes on Sunday that he's not ceding authority or power in the Middle East to Vladimir Putin, and he even seemed to suggest that Putin was operating from a position of weakness, whether economic or otherwise. What do you make of the president's characterization of what's going on there right now?
Well, it could have been the case, but if we look at the whole region, we see that we have been losing influence across the board, and not just in Syria. Look first what happened in Egypt. The Egyptians are steering away. They're going towards the Arabs and Russia and away from our influence. Libya is in chaos. Syria is in chaos. Iraq, a third of it is under the hands of ISIS. The other third plus in the hands of the Iranians. And Russia now is deploying in Syria and possibly soon to be in Iraq. So I am not sure how the Obama administration is going to characterize that America has more influence now. We have the most minimum influence since probably World War II.
On that sobering note, Dr. Faris, we'll call time. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time and your insight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Dr. Waleed Faris is an advisor to the United States Congress on the Middle East and terrorism. He is also the author most recently of The Lost Spring. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.